95.1 Shine FM with Jack and Aaron talking with Ravens running back Justin Forsett. Can I tell you a funny story real quick?
Oh, God.
So, listen, last year I was due for a new jersey. I went out and bought number 29. I bought your jersey. And so this year I found out that you got released, and I was so bummed out. I went into the sports store. They're all half price, which was like another nail in the coffin for me. So later that day I found out, oh, Justin Forsett is back. And I told my buddy, I said, Jim, you got to get down there because these jerseys are half price. So Justin, he went back down. They jacked him up to full price again.
Oh, man.
Can we just say how glad we are? Because literally when the list came out, all of us were like, it was silence. Like, and for radio people to be silent, that's a huge thing. But it was like, how is this even possible? When I went home, my father was like, just don't even say anything. I just don't understand. Like, I know in Ozzy we trust, but I don't trust this. This is.
Now, it was a tremendous bummer.
Were you in on it the whole time, or were you caught off guard like we were?
No, they talked to me a couple days before. It all worked out.
You know what? I was telling my kids about, I read a little bit of your story, and you really wanted to be with the Fighting Irish Notre Dame, and it didn't work out. And I told them, you know, like, sometimes you can do all the right things, make all the right moves, and God has different plans. Can you talk about that? Let's go way back.
Yeah, no, I wasn't very highly recruited coming out. People saying I was too small, too slow, whatnot, not big enough, and long story short, after my All-Star game, Notre Dame came down, saw my tape, and offered me a scholarship. And then a week before signing day, they called and told me they didn't need me anymore. So I remember getting that news from my dad, going down to my room in the basement and just crying my heart out and getting on my knees praying to God. I was like, man, God, I've been doing everything you asked me to do, and this happens to me. Like, I need you to show me something. Like, you got to give me something. And I remember during that time, like, I got on my knees, I was praying, and I just flipped over my Bible, and it led me to the page opened up to Proverbs 3, and 5 through 6 stuck out to me. It talks about trust God with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and acknowledge him in all his ways, and he'll direct your path. And I was like, man, that was one of those few times where I think that God was actually really, like, really speaking through me through his words right there, and, like, into my specific situation. Like, I just got to trust God. I know it doesn't look great right now. I've just been rejected. But God has a plan. I just have to trust him.
So you went on to Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that God had a different plan for you. And then the rest is history. But this has kind of happened throughout your career because you've been on some different teams. And then, like, last year, your broken arm. It's kind of like, where were you in that place where everything's clicking along and all of a sudden, man, I'm out for the season?
Yeah, no. I've been consistently facing little bits of adversity throughout my life. So early on in my career, in my life, I used to ask God, why me, why this? And I just kind of changed my perspective and, you know, stop asking why and start asking how. Like, how, God, how can I use this to give you glory? How can I use this to make me a better person, a better player? How can I help use this to make the people around me better? So even when I broke my arm, it was just like, God, I know you got a plan. You've never failed me before, so I'm just going to continue to trust you, and everything's going to work out. So it's just that peace that he gives during the time of a storm.
I think it's so important what you just said, that I actually just read an article that talked about we always want to ask why, and the question really needs to be how or what. God, what can I do in this time to be better? What can I do to lean on you more? If you've given this to me, then I just need to rest and wait in you. And I think that's part of the problem, is like, we want to run, we want to go, we want to do. We see other people running, going, and doing the same things that we want to do. And it's like God saying, hold up and stay with me.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, even in my profession, you go through adversity, it's easy to look at, socially compare upward. Like, you look at people in the locker room and see what they have and the things that you don't have, but you never compare with other people like that you have maybe more than. Like, you're blessed. Like, no matter what is happening to everyone else in your profession or your coworkers, like, God has a plan specifically for you. You just got to be okay with trusting God and trusting him that he knows best in any given situation.
So now, if you weren't doing football, would you be up on stage with Lecrae? Now, we just had Lecrae in last year for a show. So Would that be, you know, if you had to pick something over football?
On stage is rapping?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
I see you more on the motivational speaker realm. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I do during off season. I speak at churches. I speak at corporate America about how to overcome adversity and what you do during a time of adversity. So that's kind of like my passion outside of football.
Yeah, why do you like Lecrae so much?
Man, he's just awesome guy, strong believer, and he walks the walk. I mean, yeah. I've had the privilege of knowing him for a couple of years now, and seeing him off the stage has been more impressive than anything that he's been on the stage.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking back, and you actually played Santa Claus to some of your players. What was this, like 2014? You bought people 55-inch flat screens,
mm-hmm,
because they helped you. You know, it's like you go out there as a team. You can't break through the line all by yourself. You need a little help there, right?
Definitely, man. You got to help those guys. I mean, you got to gift those guys that, made the way for me throughout the season. I mean, they put their bodies on the line, opening up lanes for me so I can run free and score touchdowns. So I had to take care of those guys.
I always think Mike, who handles our concert stuff, he always says, take care of those who take care of you.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true.
So they're hoping you have a 1,000-yard season this year, right?
Always. And even on a weekly basis, if I get 100 yards, I give my old line chicken wings on Monday. So they're always pushing for that.
Dude, I would be down there helping push people out of the way. I'm from Baltimore. I can push real
push the
well.
Pile. Push
That's
the
right.
pile. We need chicken wings.
I got chicken wings riding on this.
That's awesome.
So can I ask you, going back just to the motivational speaking stuff, like we will, like inside the studio, as we're talking to listeners, like we will notice like some themes just kind of running in people's lives. And it always strikes us. It seems like there are these seasons that kind of happen. Do you see that as you're going on speaking? Like, do you kind of stick with the same thing, or are you able, like in that moment, like does the Holy Spirit put on you, like, I need to change up what I'm about to say?
Definitely. I feel like I've definitely had the few opportunities to where I was able to speak, but it was kind of tailored to that specific audience, and God really used that my normal talk to really affect the people that's in the room and what they're dealing with. So there's definitely been some changing of the script while I was talking.
Yeah, what's been like the big theme that you've been seeing like running lately, like encouragement that people need?
Especially this off season, when I'm going around traveling, speaking. Like for most of my career, I was in the shadows. I wasn't in the limelight. No one knew my name. I was just a guy that worked hard. I was in on special teams, just moving from team to team in the NFL, but behind some really great players. And I was basically waiting for my breakthrough. And I've been seeing out in the public, like, this is applicable to people in the workforce that's been waiting for their big break.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. waiting for their time to maybe get to the top of their profession, and they really are bound to adversity, don't really feel like people respect them or really haven't been given that chance to really break through. So what do you do in the meantime while you're waiting on your breakthrough? Some people sulk and get bitter, and other people seem to get better and break records and just break through that mezzanine in their career. So that's kind of been I've been seeing that a lot lately. Guys just kind of frustrated where they are professionally and want to really get that breakthrough, and I've been able to kind of share and encourage them.
That's kind of I love the way you say that too, because I remember hearing Roger Staubach talk about how the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, and he'd worked his whole life for this, and he got back to his hotel room and he's like, "Wow, we just won the Super Bowl. Now what?" You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you worked for this, but there's got to be some other foundation.
Right.
And to us, anyway, it seems like you're a guy that's got that.
I was talking to one of our media relations people. They were asking me, I do a lot of stuff in the community. Why is it important for you to do that? For me, I feel like I'm here to do more than play football. Like, my purpose is greater than football. Like, football is just a vessel that God has given me to glorify his name. So whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's, you know, being a radio host or being a janitor or being a school teacher, I believe that our purpose is greater, and like we can use that to glorify God. So, you know, definitely while you're waiting on your breakthrough and your opportunity, it's just great to be at peace and knowing that God can use you right where you're at.
When it's all over one day, when you're on the end of the back nine of your career, what do you want to take away from this game into life?
Man, for me, I want to be known as a guy that gave his all on the football field and left a legacy of just tremendous faith and perseverance and hard work. I want what people have seen me do in the community and the people that are impacted. I want them to rank that higher than the things that I've done on the football field.
That's awesome. Are you ready for Sunday? Are you feeling okay? I just want to, you know, make sure here.
Is this a fantasy football question?
No, it's not. Although, I don't play fantasy football because I don't want it to ruin my Raven experience. It's going to screw it up. But we did have a guy who said, make sure he gets lots of yards.
I'm feeling great.
Okay, good. All right.
Otherwise, look, dude, when you guys are playing, I bake because when I'm stressed, I bake. And I'm like, oh, and I see, like, you only get a little bit here and there. And I'm like, let him loose. Get out of his way. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're proud of you. It's just, you know, the work on the field. And we just pray blessings for you, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking time with us.
Thanks for having me.